Let's bow our heads and say a prayer in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, grant us the gift of interior silence this morning. We may not be distracted by all the things of the world and all the things this coming week. Interior silence, we may be receptive to your word. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ's very first words addressed to humanity were, "Repent and believe in the gospel." Mark chapter 1, verse 15. And these readings here echo our Lord's original sermon. We have Acts chapter 3, St. Peter today saying, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be wiped away." And St. John, he says, "I'm writing this." The second letter today we read, "I'm writing this to you so that you may not commit sin, but keep his commandments." Then we have in the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 24, the very last sentence, "Repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations." Now, all this is talking about sin, right? That your sins may be wiped away. So just that's why he's preaching. St. John says, "I'm writing this about the commandments so you don't commit sin." And then repentance for the forgiveness of sins. What's so bad about sin? It separates us from God. Sin separates us from God. And it's the greatest obstacle to our journey towards God. We're meant to live a life with Christ and be with him for all eternity. And sin hurts that relationship. And if you have a person who lives in sin, doesn't repent, and they die in that, eternity is not good. Now my focus here today in the sermon is about repentance, and we'll talk a little bit about examination of conscience. My focus is not hell, but ultimately, that is the result. That's why St. Peter says, repent. Turn away from your sin. I'm writing the same chapter so you don't sin. Because what's the ultimate thing if you do? Hell. Now, this is a beautiful quote. That's from a Dominican priest, Father Walter Farrell. He passed away several decades ago, but he wrote an extensive commentary on St. Thomas Aquinas' Summa, putting it more like in the modern language or modern examples. And he said this, "If there's any topic that preachers hesitate to preach about and writers to write about, it's the topic of hell. Yet we cannot do away with the reality merely by ignoring it or avoiding it because it's unpleasant." He writes, "What is surprising and not at all flattering to humanity is that men should shrink from the truth of hell." So the Lord speaks about it quite a bit. "As if the place of eternal torment could be shrunk or disappear because we deny it. It is the height of unreason to give a divine truth treatment of this kind." So it is a divine truth, and it's something that we have to be aware of. Like a parent, when they tell a child to do something for their own safety, and they don't do it, there's often a punishment, because if the child's running across the busy road, you know, parents around, most likely, you know, they're going to get hit by a car. So a parent sees that, they discipline them, and so they won't end up as our Lord. We have all these messages, well, words from the scripture that tell us. So what does sin do? It turns us away from God. We turn away from the Creator. We turn to something that is created, either a person, place, or thing. Now, if we're really honest with ourselves, a lot of times people have a difficulty giving up sin, whatever that sin may be. Because sin is just a temptation or something that we find attractive or pleasurable, but it's contrary to God's will. So anytime the message of repentance comes to us, especially when Our Lady appeared like a Fatima and Lourdes and Nikita, all messages of repentance are connected to a message of prayer. Because without God's grace, without God's light, we can't break away. In Romans chapter 7, St. Paul talks about this tension that occurs into the soul, that you know in the depths of heart they should repent or there's good that they should be doing, but yet I don't do that. That's why we have to turn to prayer. Now, I'm going to share something I think is quite encouraging. As examples, just real briefly, some examples of saints who are great sinners. And all of us are sinners. And this book gives great hope. It's called Saints Behaving Badly. This is their other point. Some people find they read the book. It's great. Each chapter is maybe about 3 pages, get little snippets about the different saints. So this can be just a brief overview, maybe just some examples. So, St. Matthew, gospel writer, extortionist. St. Dismas, thief. St. Callistus, embezzler. St. Pelagia, promiscuous actress. St. Moses of Ethiopia, cutthroat and gang leader. This is the early centuries of the church, and he'd be out in the desert, and he was a gang leader, had 75 people. Anytime people were passing, going through the deserts and the caravans, they would rob them. And he was a really big man, very sure he could take four men down by himself. And his group, people were then attacking them, and he had to escape. But he escaped to a monastery that was in the desert, hid. But God had a plan, and he converted there. And it's really something. So anyway, he was a gang leader, cutthroat, Saint Augustine, heretic, playboy, Saint Mary of Egypt, seductress, prostitute, Saint Olga, a mass murderer. Now listen to this one. Saint Vladimir, fratricide, killed his brother, rapist, practitioner of human sacrifice. Blessed Giles of Portugal, Satanist. St. Margaret Cortona, she was a rich man's mistress for 9 years, and the man died, and he was out in the forest, and they discovered his body decaying, and the reality of how things in this world pass away, and then the thought of eternity led to her conversion. A couple of examples here. St. John of God, a gambler and a drunkard, you know, a gambler and drunkard. So if you know anyone that has trouble with that, St. John is a good saint to pray to, because he was held in that bondage. St. Philip Howard, cynic and negligent husband. St. Peter Claver, this is about dithering novice. So if you're a klutz, you know, he's a good one to pray for. And then Venerable Matt Talbot, chronic alcoholic. So all of these sinners, raw sinners, became saints. They gave the life up to Christ. They turned to daily prayer. And they were given this great gift of repentance. Repentance. You know, something is really, truly, brothers and sisters, a gift from God to have deep repentance in your heart. Have you ever had a moment in your life where you sort of like put your fist down, that's it, you're going to do better, you make some kind of resolution? You know what that is? That is the power of the resurrection that you're letting shine forth from your soul, to enter your soul. When you make those resolutions, that's it. I'm going to rise up. I can do better than this with God's grace. That is the power of the resurrection working in one's life. Now, through prayer, it's one of the basic things of prayer. Every time Our Lady appears, she asks us to pray the rosary. The rosary. We don't realize the great power that's connected with this. And I read this story just recently. There was this gentleman, he had died, and they bought his coffin. They got his the clothes to put on the body, that would be in a coffin, all these different things. Just recently, was it like 1996? And the Vatican approved this. He was dead for about 40 hours, and he came to. Reading this, like, what? No way. Vatican approved, they investigated this, but he said when he appeared before the Lord showed him his life, the Lord really emphasized the chaplet of divine mercy. A great power. It's a 7 or 8 minute prayer. We pray that after the Masses Monday through Saturday. So the rosary, the chaplet of divine mercy, and above all, what can help us to have that gift of true repentance is the Eucharist. The Eucharist, the Eucharist, the Eucharist. The living God here among us. Behold, I will not leave you orphaned. Last week we celebrated Divine Mercy Sunday. In the beautiful diary of Divine Mercy, paragraph 367, our Lord told Faustina this: my heart overflows with great mercy for souls, especially for poor sinners. For them, I dwell in the tabernacle as King of Mercy. I desire to bestow my graces upon them, but they do not want to accept them. Now listen to this line. This is our Lord speaking, and it's sad. Oh, how indifferent our souls to so much goodness, to so many proofs of my love. A heart drinks only of the ingratitude and forgetfulness of souls living in the world. They have time for everything, but they have no time to come to me for graces. My goodness, people who are indifferent, ingratitude, forgetfulness, and we've all been there at one point, but praise God, we're here in church. I mentioned this other Mass, I mentioned here previously. I reflect on this quite a bit. In this tri-state area, the Catholic population is high enough that all the Catholic churches in this area should be filled every Sunday. You know that? So how many people today are indifferent? Oh, so what? Ingratitude. Christ suffered and died so much. Forget about Jesus. Live their own lives, separate from God. That's not good. We have to pray our repentance for them too. So they die separated from Christ and His church. Salvation will not be theirs. Our Lord told Sister Josefa Menendez, that mystic, He said, I wait for souls, but unless they want to be forgiven, I cannot pardon them. I created man without his cooperation, but he is free to save or to lose his soul by his own decisions. Poor sinners, how blind they are and ignorant. I want only to forgive them, and they seek only to offend me. That is my great sorrow, that so many are lost that they do not all come to me to be forgiven. The gift of repentance is really, truly a grace and gift. You ever had a time where you made a really good confession? No holds barred, you let everything out, and you felt like a deep sorrow in your soul, not so much for fear of hell or this, but because you hurt Jesus. That's a great grace. Great grace, but we should pray for that. Right? It would be ideal that every single confession we make is one of those depths of our hearts that we're really, really sorry. Now, something that can help us to obtain this gift of repentance is a daily examination of conscience, which the church recommends at the end of each day that we pause. It could be just for a few moments where we stop and we look at our life in relation to God and our neighbor and tell God we're sorry. So just a couple basic steps to go through. First, so at the end of the day, you stop, you place yourselves in the presence of God. So you just stop everything, you turn off the cell phone, the TV, the internet, and then you say, Lord, I place myself in your presence. And Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. See, the Lord wants us to be pure and holy. He'll help us to see those sins we ask Him and persevere. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And then our guardian angel is right at our side. We ask our guardian angel, I know that you love me and that you see everything and remember everything. You're always there 24/7. So guardian angel, what did I do today that wasn't pleasing to the Lord? Pause for a moment. Guardian angel, what did I do that was really good today? Help me to do that again tomorrow. Guardian angel, what did I do today that I could do better tomorrow? So there's three general questions there. And then, this is the assumption of this examination here that the person is going to Mass on Sundays and doing all the basics as a Catholic should be doing. So then you ask yourself, did I offer him my work today? Did I offer up all the things I did? Did I make good use of my time? Or was I frivolous? I left the whole day going by without doing anything productive for my soul or my neighbor. Did I pray slowly with attention? Oftentimes, and even priests fall into this, we get our prayers in, but we don't get into the prayer, the spirit of the prayer, the soul of the prayer. So you have to stop, place yourselves, okay? Did I criticize anyone today, or gossip, or detraction? So we look at that, how we usually get to speech. Was I forgiven? You know, on a certain, I think most of us, every day, there's some people we need to forgive. You know, maybe they treat us with ingratitude, indifference, as they treat our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. Did I pray and offer some sacrifices today? That's just during Lent, because our Lord said, pick up your cross daily. So our Lord was saying, every day there's got to be some kind of mortification, dying to self, so I may live in your soul. Did I allow myself to be carried away by lust, or by pride, or by ego? You know? Did I pray for my family, my children, my grandchildren, my relatives, priests, co-workers, and things like that? So it's a real basic. So you look at that, and then after you get in the habit, it goes kind of quickly, and then you make a good act of contrition, then we make some resolutions for the next day, okay? I either have to avoid this person, place, or thing, they always lead me down the right path. Okay, there's a specific fault here in my life, I'm really going to concentrate and work on this. Benjamin Franklin, he met this Jesuit, and this Jesuit helped him to grow in his spiritual life, so he had a 13-week cycle. He looked at his life, he looked at the most dominant fault, then the least dominant faults, and so during a 13-week cycle, each week he would work one specific fault to try to overcome it. And at the end of 13 weeks, he'd start again. This was gradual of growth and perfection. Did I exert special effort to practice some virtues? That's the positive. Not just looking at the negative, okay, I gotta get rid of this, but something positive in your life that you're trying to improve. Did I take advantage of occasions for improvement? And see, God's eager for our perfection and grace. God's eager for our perfection in love. So if we keep turning towards Him and asking Him on a daily basis, oh, they're serious about this. And all of a sudden, all these flood of graces will come to us, you know? And then we finish with a prayer. So, all of us are sinners, but the hope, the good news is that we all could be saints. But we have to repent, we have to look at our lives objectively, and then ask the Lord, Lord, I give you my life. Let's just bow our heads and say this prayer. I've been thinking about this during the week. We do this at Mass. Lord Jesus, I give you my life. I give you my love. I give you my heart. I give everything over to your care. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. I give myself over to you. I accept your saving passion, death, and recognize you as Lord and Savior. I give my life over to you. Help me to let go of anything that's keeping me from you. And I ask this in your holy name.
In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.